The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Thursday, the 8th of December, and you are Erin Green on this Culture Thursday, and we've got a full day for you. I'm going to start off with a short interview about an event taking place this weekend. And then for Culture Thursday, I am going to have Dr. Nyambi Hall Campbell Dean and Stephen Dean, that's Popeye the Conk celebrity, as we talk all things conk. Because on the first day of Christmas, I hope my true love brings to me a whole big bowl of tropical salad, you see. That's what I'm wishing for. So we're going to be talking conk today. Joining me in the Zoom room are Mr. Natino Thompson and Ms. Deandra Ambrista. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, not Deandra, it's Kivante.
Good morning, Kivante. Cash, good morning, ma'am. How are you?
Hey, Erin. I'm all right. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. It is great to hear your voice. Welcome to On the Clock.
Same. Thanks for having us.
So tell us, what's happening this weekend?
Well, this weekend, we're having an event called Shaping Queer Stories, and it's an event that emerged out of talks. Jody had approached, Jody works at Turn Gallery, but Jody was having some conversations with us, and then she had a conversation with Deandra, and at the same time, simultaneously, I was having some conversations with Kivante. And after Deandra had gotten back to me about things Jody was talking about, Jody had made the space available. I took that opportunity and I was like, you know what? Okay, I want to do a collaboration. And Kivante had approached me about another project. And I was like, you know what, Kivante, I think that this would work. I don't know if you'd want to be a part of this. We could probably do something together. So I wanted to do something like an event where queer people could have the space to share their stories, because a lot of times our stories are marginalized.
Yeah.
And so that was the impetus around this event, allowing an interactive kind of game or a conversation starter, but also like engaging artists in their work. So the whole concept is so that we could get to know each other, because a lot of times, even when we're in the same space, because of our marginalization within Bahamian society, we don't have the time to actually get to know one another as people. And so this space is created for that.
All right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. What's the name of the event?
Shaping Queer Stories.
Right. And you're going to have a game show?
Well, I'll let Kivante go. Go ahead.
Morning.
No problem. Yeah, morning. So I think like Natino kind of like got into like the thesis of it and like breaking down like the forming of the event. So Natino had approached me about just this idea of facilitating conversation. Uh-huh. And so in my like regular like day-to-day, I do PR work, and that PR work is like event coordination. And so like all about like creating events that could bring people together to facilitate conversation, but also like be interactive and like have fun.
Yeah.
So it's like, how can we facilitate a conversation in a way that allows like under the margins, specifically queer, trans, disabled people to like come together to get to know each other, but under a premises of like fun, you know?
Yeah.
So this concept of a card game is kind of like, we drawing on different concepts that we would find on like different YouTube channels, like, questions being asked that inspires like the respondent to really like think about, how actually did I get into art making, or who was my first supporter, like, yeah, when I said that I wanted to be an artist, or who was really my safe space when I came out to myself, or rather came into myself, like questions prompting people to really just like think about it for themselves and really get to know themselves in a new way, but share it with other members of the community.
Okay.
So, yeah, so it's called Shaping Queer Stories. And this like whole event is really just like a testament to community, like dependability and creative collaboration. Everyone who is on the planning team and marketing team, as well as Turn and our like in-kind donators, Young's Fine Wine and all of that. Like these are people who are like strong, strong allies or people who are like fiercely like LGBTQI activists. And then in terms of just like choosing the artists who will help to really drive the conversation forward, mm-hmm. because it's a card game, but we wanted to like say, start with artists who are willing to be open and sharing like their artistic stories and just like coming into themselves. And thinking about like how we wanted to go about it, we were like, okay, this should be like a generational conversation. So we came, like we thought about you, Aaron. We thought about other artists who will be participating, Renee Caesar, John O'Sturrup, Leanne Darville. So it's a conversation with generations, like, okay, how was their experiences like with their, and they're like, you know, coming into themselves different from like, I guess, like younger generations. So that's how we kind of went about it.
Okay, so we're almost out of time. Who are the organizers? Where is it going to be located? And how do I learn more information about it?
Yeah, so the organizers are Natino, Deandra, myself, and Jody Minnesad, Team Turn, who will be helping to host the event, as well as Ramel Scher. Mm-hmm. The event will be at Turn Gallery. That's on the Western Road.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the best way to locate Turn Gallery is to put it into Google Maps, and it'll take you directly where you need to go.
Uh-huh.
But it is if you live in the east on the other end of the island. And the event is from noon to 5 p.m. So you don't have to stay for the full time. You could pop in, listen to a story, engage with someone that you know or don't know. Don't know is the preference, right? Because we're trying to get to know each other. A swap shop will run as well. And a swap shop really is like an anti-capitalist, like bring and buy sale. So you could bring like a painting that you had in your, like, you know, like I guess like attic or closet or anything like that from long ago. And you could swap it with someone else who brings in another piece of art or maybe like a clothing item of that kind. And there's no money involved at all.
Mm-hmm.
And you said where, when, how?
Well, no, I the organization for queer resistance and fostering love through community.
Yes.
So I'll let Natino talk about like the formation of the organization for queer resistance.
Now we just have a few moments because I want you all to play my game show before I let you all go today.
Okay.
Awesome.
So I'll make it brief. So Queer Resistance is an organization that I started. It came together seamlessly. Honestly, Aaron, you had told me about doing something like this. And I was like, I don't really know if I want to do that, right? So I'd avoided that at all costs. But the universe had it that it came together. I didn't, like, it just, honestly, when this conversation with Kevante started happening, the universe brought Kevante and things just worked out and it all started. She helped to sharpen my vision, and here we have it today. And then FLC is Kevante's vision. The project that she was talking to me about was FLC, and working with her. It's a community organization dealing with events for the queer community. And I was like, this is the direction that I want to head. And so, yeah, just briefly, that's how everything came together. So, yeah.
Listen, it's great. It's great to see young people organizing themselves, right? It's great to see young people. I can be honest with you. I love it. I love it that your young people say, man, look here, Erin old, you know. She need to rest, you know. We gay start organizing. I'm so happy to see the community and moving in different ways, not organizing necessarily around politics, but organizing around fostering more community, you know?
Yeah, I feel that.
That's great. Okay, so as I wait for my producer to get in, you guys, I'm going to wait for you. One second, One second, Mr. Look here, this conversation could be so good. Mr. Nuri even want to get in on it. All right, so my other guests have joined us. Good morning, Dr. Hall Campbell Dean.
Good morning.
You know I wanted to say Mrs. and Mr. Doctor, but we got Stephen Dean, Popeye the Conk celebrity.
Hey.
Look here, I'm so happy to see you.
Yeah,
okay. So my guests in the Zoom room, we're going to start off by playing the How Bahamian Are You game, Conk Edition, right? And so the first question for Cavante and Natino is, you all ready?
Yeah.
Crack conk or grill conk?
You say white conk or gray conk?
No, crack.
Miss.
She said crack.
You already lose the game.
Oh, okay.
Crack conk or grill conk?
Oh, I hear you. I can't choose because I really, really like conk.
Yeah.
Like, it depends on, like, the weather. Like, a grill conk, when it's, like, nice and breezy in the night, fine. A crack conk, like, when I just, you know, have something hot to eat and it's regular weather.
When you gallivanting. I got you.
For me, I have to be really feeling it to eat conk. Like, I'll eat bits and pieces off of other people's plate, but I don't really like conk like that. I'm sorry.
I didn't think it was you.
If it has to be a choice, it'll be crack. If it has to be a choice, it's crack. But rarely do I eat conk.
Okay.
I'm going to be honest.
Another one? Lime or sour orange? Mm.
Just go on a conk salad?
See? Did you know where you from?
Oh, no. This girl is called salad, right?
Yes.
I'm going to go with, I like both. If I'm going to have a Coke salad, I'm going to do both.
You have lime and sour orange on it.
Yes.
Okay, now I'm going to bring my other guests into the game show as well because they're very excited. Okay. Now, I was scared to put this one on, but I say, you know what? If the people think I bougie, they think I bougie. Yeah. Tropical salad or apple and white wine salad? Yeah, I see people put apple and white wine in their conk salad.
Oh, wow.
No, what? That don't.
This boy is the conk celebrity, you
listen,
know.
Listen, whoever do that, they have to have probably a sentence for that. They got to go.
Don't let nobody see you doing that on Montague Rampier.
Please.
Okay, Cavante and Natino, thank you for joining me this morning.
Thank you for having us.
And tell us again, the game show is, the event is called?
Shaping Queer Stories.
And
it's happening on Saturday, December 10th at Turn Gallery from 12 noon to 5 p.m. For more information, you can check out the Organization of Queer Resistance on Instagram's page, and it'll have all of the information there. Or you can check, look up my... my Instagram or add me on Facebook, something. Do something, like, you know how to find me. Type it in Google and get there.
Absolutely.
It's right there, yeah.
Thank you so much. And I can't wait to play your game on Saturday at the Turn Gallery.
Yeah.
We can't wait to have you.
You guys have a great morning.
Thank you again, Erin.
All right. Bye-bye. Yippee-yi-yo. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Just want you to know.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches. Fidelity, we're good for you.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Remember when Zoom was just a sound effect? When your living room wasn't your gym? When a cough didn't scare people away? That was the good old days. And thankfully, they are coming back. As things return to normal, remember it is essential to be fully immunized against all vaccine-preventable diseases like COVID-19, diphtheria, tetanus, measles, and influenza. This message is brought to you by PAHO WHO, the Ministry of Health and Wellness, the Caribbean Development Bank, the Government of Canada, and the United States of America.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Diving. Heard them say resources slow. I noticed things was getting slow. And man, I really thought that they was lying. How our delicacy could ever become mystery when all around me is the sea.
My, oh my, my. Should've left them babies in the sand. Why, oh why? Should've give them chance to grow up. Should've give them chance to multiply.
We must think about tomorrow. There's some terrible.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. Joining me today in studio again, Dr. Nyambi Hall Campbell Dean and Popeye the Conch celebrity. That's Mr. Stephen Dean. Now, these guys are the co-founders of the King of the Conch Festival. I brought them in as my conch experts today. It's like I say, the first day of Christmas, I want my true love to bring to me a big bowl of tropical conch salad, you see. This is very important. I'm saving it. I've reduced my conch consumption this year. Mm. I've consciously cut back, not bought as much conch, not ordered as much conch, because I got to begin my own personal conservation culture, right? I got to start treating it like it is that special thing that you could only have every once in a while to mark the most important occasions, because we're running out of conch, it appears.
Yeah,
and I don't know if Bahamians, if we've taken the time to examine, right, like our relationship to the conch, I realize that we haven't thought about it.
Yeah.
How we gonna feel when there's no conch left,
yeah.
Right? How you gonna feel on New Year's morning when you trying to go freshen up, right? You're trying to go catch yourself with a bowl of hot conch salad, a nice cold beer or lemonade, local fruit lemonade or something, and ain't no conch. What you could do when you flying into the Bahamas after not being here for 10 years and you make your stop at the first greasy, oily paper bag shop you could find and ain't no conch. I think that we're going to be so shocked
yeah.
at that experience. And then we're going to realize that, you know what, we could have
done.
We could have done something.
Absolutely.
So I've asked you all to come and play the game with me, and then I can share some conch facts, right?
Okay.
There are more than 60 different species of conch in the world. Mm-hmm. How do I know this? I'm a conchologist.
Indeed. A doctor.
That's right. Conchologists study primarily or exclusively the shells of mollusks, right? Mm-hmm. And conchs, because conch is a mollusk. Now, malacologists study seashells. But conchologists study mollusks, right? I'm a conchologist. The rarest conch in the world, well, Wikipedia told me it's the Conus gloriomaris, also known as the glory of the sea cone. But the rarest conch shell in the world is the white-toothed cowrie. And the cowrie shell, now we Bahamians, descendants of Africans, we have a relationship with the cowrie shell.
Yeah, the small one.
The very, very tiny one, right? And so I can't even pronounce the scientific name. It's like Cypraea leucodon. That's the white-toothed cowrie. It is known from just two specimens, the second of which turned up in 1960 and is thus the most coveted species among conchologists. So when you see the little cowrie shell jewelry and somebody give you a piece of cowrie shell jewelry, that's something important. That's something valuable from your culture. Now, in a press release, the Belize Fisheries Department, Belize has created a closed season to conserve conch.
Yeah.
That's how dire it's getting in the region. And their season closed. Now, the season is supposed to close June 30th. But they had met the conch quotas, right? So everybody had collected as much conch as they could get. And they closed the season 4 days early. So I guess one of the first questions I have to ask y'all is, do you think we need a closed conch season?
Wow. Well, thank you for having us Aaron, this morning. You know, King of the Conch, when we founded it, was really devised around what you were talking about. Like, we do want to start to have the conversation of what would it look like to not have conch in the Bahamas, to really recognize as this thing. You know, we say, as Bahamian, as conch salad is a thing that we say, right? So how does who we are as Bahamians change if conch is no longer an active part of that? And so we wanted to do something that celebrated conch, our use of conch, celebrated the conch salad makers as the artisans that they are, but also looked at how we can use conch in a sustainable way, right? Not take conch away from people, not say you can't eat it because, you know, we got to hoard it or anything like that, but just how do we use it in a more conscious and sustainable way? And so that might look like putting conch on season, right? You know, there are people that study this daily that would probably be able to answer that more you know, effectively or efficiently for you, but it could look in a number of ways. It could start by just making sure that we eat conch that is mature. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have a more radical suggestion, right? I want to say, rest in peace, my friend LeVar Pratt, who teach me plenty about the ocean, right? There are all kinds of conch, right? 60 species in the world. There are more than just one conch species in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
And I suggest that we limit, I don't know how we could do it, but we limit the queen conch for conch salad only, raw application only, queen conch, because people may not realize it, right, that you eat the queen conch in your conch salad because it's tender. We've started cooking the queen conch more, right, because we can't cook and tender cook easy to conch easy to cook, but we could be cooking conch like the pepper conch or what they call the screw conch, and other types of conch we could find in our waters that are edible, that tastes great, but you have to be a proper chef. Like, you need to know how to prepare it to get that traditional flavor, to get that melt in the mouth conch experience. And so, like, it's my own laziness. It's my own inability to cook, which is why I tend to go to the queen conch. But I don't need the queen conch to make my stew conch, my conch chowder, my conch fritters, maybe the crack conch. Maybe the crack conch. But outside of those two applications, I shouldn't be using queen conch for my cooking applications.
Well, with that, you have the first find out if other conch other than the queen conch could be used to eat, you know, if it isn't poison or anything like that. So we basically have to find out the information, and that's what we don't have. We only have information on the queen conch and not the other 59 species.
We don't have enough
information on if it could cook.
No, I can be honest. I tried to cook the screw conch. They call it the spicy conch or the screw conch. And I say I tried to cook it, right? I just want to say that, in all honesty, there's no way that I cook my conch as nice as Marina Young San's cook her conch, right? Or Muggy cook her conch, right? Or Auntie May on the island. I couldn't cook my conch as nice as that. But I know that you can cook it. I know you can eat it. It's edible. Yeah. And I think we really could replace the cooked conch dishes. We could replace the queen conch and save the queen conch for the most... Right, and I think another rule should be this. Now, dear conch salad vendors, conch fritter makers, don't get mad at me. I don't think you're supposed to be making fritters with the white meat of the conch. You're supposed to be, I think you're supposed to be making the fritters with the skin. And the white meat is saved for other applications. I think this is important for two reasons. I cannot be paying $5 for five fritters.
Dollar fritter.
I can't. Yeah. And I want younger Bahamians to know that this is a crisis. There's something wrong if you pay in dollar per fritter.
I mean, I think that goes to, and Stephen, you probably could speak more on this too, like the way that we value conch and like even the cost of conch salad is kind of really underpriced if you think about how much it really takes to go into to to getting conch as a resource.
Ah, so we may have to row. What you saying is, Ms. Green, the math ain't mathin. When you break down the costs. Now, I could say, listen, if we're talking about conservation, then you should expect a higher cost on your conch.
Yeah. And the thing is that to get the conch now is kind of more difficult because of, you know, gas going up, you know, so you're going to have to get gas to go on the boat and fuel up to go. And then now you have to go so far now to get a conch. Back then, you could have gone right there, pick up the conch or whatever. Right. Now, you have to go so far to find a conch. So when it reached the market, it's no choice for the divers to go up on the vendors.
All right, producer, let's go to the phone line. I see maybe we need another rule that says you can't eat queen conch in Nassau. If you want conch, you got to go to the family island.
Somewhere where you could actually walk out and get it.
Yeah, right, because I've seen in the last, I haven't bought, commercially conch. I haven't bought conch in a little while. But I used to buy some conch from some guys, right, in New Providence. The conch bigger than my hand.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going way out, right? They're going way out. And we respected that with the pay, right? We understood why it cost so much. But maybe Nassau, New Providence should be restricted, right? And if you want conch, you got to go to the family islands. Yeah.
The problem with that is that, you know, a conch could only live 2 days, 24 hours out of the water. And the distance to get from some of the family islands to Nassau, to the market, time as they reach.
But that's what I say. No, you can't eat conch in New Providence. You have to go to the family island to eat conch.
I think that's a good idea, too, because it'll increase, you know, revenue business for the family islands as well. You know?
And it'll drive
tourists locals to go the there. Island. So that's a good idea.
Yeah, man. Imagine your Christmas pilgrimage is to go have conch.
Yeah, the only problem with that, I close down now.
Oh, boy.
You're going to close me down.
look how y'all going to relocate. So, better build a campus in Eleuthera so they could relocate.
So you have our wacky close down. That's 49 stalls. You get Port of Ski in there, 50-something stalls. Then you get everyone close down.
And I'm being mean to New Providence people, right? No. But maybe we would drive residents back to the family island.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people don't want to be here. But let's go to this caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. You still there, caller? All right. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron and your guests. How you doing?
Good, thank you. How you doing?
Good morning.
And you all owe me for my cell phone. That's it. But anyway, the problem really is the conch. You know, we got an abundance of conch out there. But the problem is we're fishing the shellfish wrong. We're fishing it wrong.
Okay.
We need to educate our fishermen, and we need to diversify their fishing methods.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the Americans. We need to adhere strict laws and rules to the size of the conch that they take. Once the conch is not to the size of harvesting, you have to put that back in the water. If you're caught with it, they need to enforce the rules. It's the same thing with fish and lobsters and stuff. Instead of bringing in dead lobsters, shooting them on the shore, we need to introduce our fishermen to traps, like what the Americans do. They put down traps for this, that, the next thing. So if you take out a fish, a grouper, and it's undersized,
you put it back.
You put it back in the water.
I got you.
We just need to diversify our fishing method. That's all.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, okay.
So listen, don't go. I got a question for you. You still there?
Yeah, on our cell phone.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry.
But what he means by that, Aaron, is that the fishing methods, one of them that is in Bahamian, is what persons is doing. They crack the conch out, and then they take the shells and throw back on the Kong grounds. And so what happens is if Aaron walk in, going west, and you see a million dead people, would you go that way?
No.
And so the Kong is that smart not to go in that area anymore.
Listen, producer, play the song, the one by Drippy Kennessy and Drippy J. Please play that one for me. We're going to play this song because you hear what you just say?
Yeah.
The Kong smart.
They smart.
The Kong see empty shells and say, oh, wait, my brother, pause. We need to go in a different direction.
We ain't going that way no more.
But our young people think the Kong mean that you're stupid.
Yeah, no, Kong is very intelligent. Yeah.
So let's listen to this song called, Cause I's the Kong.
Tell I run. You must think I stupid. You must think I dumb. You telling all these lies cause you think I's the Kong.
I is the donut. You must think I dumb. You put me in your mouth and you gonna chew me up like gum.
Cause I is the Kong. You running your big mouth. You telling all these lies cause you know I's the Kong.
I is the donut. You must think I dumb. You gonna put me in your mouth and you gonna chew me up like gum.
Cause I is the Kong. Cause I is the Kong.
Cause I is the Kong.
Cause I is the Kong.
And you gonna put me in the bag
and beat me.
Yeah. Cole, now listen, I'm so glad you said that, right? Especially with this FTX talk, I'm hearing too many young people not understand what it means to be a part of Kong Nation.
Yeah.
Right? Especially some young people on what we call it Kong Twitter. That's like Bahamian Twitter, right? First of all, I need y'all to know, if Kong is get beat in Kong Nation, anybody, we do the conking.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody could come to the Bahamas and conk us.
No, shouldn't be.
Right? I need us to have more sense of self and pride in self and love who we are. Mm-hmm. Right? If I'm a part of Conk Nation, then trust me, I do in the conking.
Yep, yep.
Right? And secondly, dear young people, you see how brilliant y'all are? Y'all turn conk from just a noun to an, is it an adverb, to an adjective, to a verb, right?
Yeah.
So don't be a conk, don't be conky, and don't conk me, buddy.
Yeah.
And I need you all young people to understand the beauty and the power of that. You creating your own identity. I just need you to know, in Conk Nation, we do the conking.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody coming here to conk us.
no time.
Right.
And the reason, my reason, or what I think why people, you know, would say that, you know, use the conk or, you know, make conk feel like it's something dumb or whatever. For conk, number one is slow.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only reason you catch a conk.
Yeah.
So another thing is that is a system that we put as the divers a conk in that can get away and is very important. And it's basically the process of cracking a hole in the conch, and then we knit a system through the conch, which is the string. And the string is the system that keeps the conch
from escaping.
Yeah, and so we have to look very careful, even in not even using the conch, but just in everything as a system,
yeah.
And look at that string and what that string is do to the conch. Keep them grounded. Keep them in one place. So one can pull left, one can pull north, one can pull south, one can pull north, and nobody going nowhere.
Look here, the lessons that we have to learn about ourselves.
So it's deep.
Yes, yes. Dear young people.
The string.
The string is the problem.
The system.
Not the conch itself.
Just like the, you know, this whole black crab syndrome. The crab ain't the problem. The barrel is the problem.
All right, now we're getting somewhere.
Yeah, young people. Okay, I got a call on the line.
You look like you need an offering box.
Yes.
Preach now.
Yes. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, we're trying to stop delicacy. But Aaron, you're right, though. We need conch season in some areas.
Mm-hmm.
Where it most heavily used.
Okay.
In that area.
Okay.
But not to say to put a whole season on it, because a friend of mine told me in the southern Bahamas, there are so many conks that they dead on the beach.
What?
And they're so old. That's in the southern Bahamas. They really don't touch. The conks are old and some are, you know.
Yeah.
Hang out on the shores.
Yeah.
Somewhere in Ragged Island, up in those areas. But we need not really a conk season all over. We just need a conk season where it's heavily used.
Okay.
And you preserve that area for 6 months.
Right. Shut it down, a particular fishing ground.
Yeah. You need to have a discussion on it.
Yeah.
And then just a start.
Yeah, man. Absolutely.
Have a good day.
You too. Okay, we got another caller, and then I have to ask about acceptable conch salad recipes.
Yeah.
Because
that's needed.
Because I thought apple and white wine was it.
No.
Okay, good morning, caller. Got another caller on the line? Good morning, caller.
Hi, a pleasant good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
Good morning.
I am well.
Good, good. So I got a question for you. You ready?
Yeah.
You ready, ma'am?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Old school scotch conch or modern scotch conch?
Old school conch.
Tell the young people what old school scotch conch is.
Old school scotch conch has to do with, of course, and scotching that down.
Uh-huh.
Using some of that lemon over it with some nice bird seed pepper.
Yeah.
Not the goat pepper. That red, small bird seed pepper.
Uh-huh. Bird pepper.
Yeah. Spreading it all over there and eating it like so.
Right. You lay the conch out, you scorch it, you don't cut it up, you scorch it, you squeeze the lime over it, you rub the pepper on it, you dip it in the salt, and you take a bite.
That's right.
Ah, boy. You know, I ain't never seen nobody eat scorch conch like that, like on the dock or anything. I only see my neighbors from Long Island eat conch like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, you used to eat it like that growing up in Montreal Heights.
Oh, nice.
That's how my grandfather did it, Charlie Guy.
Okay.
And he was a fisherman for many years. After he worked with the Line Company, a construction company, many years ago.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah. she know a conch.
Absolutely.
Okay, guys. Have a great one.
You too.
Thank you.
Okay, so, I don't know, producer, when you feel the urge, play one of these songs, and... okay, so this whole conversation started because I saw a bowl of what looked like conch in carnation milk.
Wow. Yeah.
And some people was arguing, and in fact, they was getting ready to throw everybody in jail. But I say,
if you'd like,
hold on. There are many different types of conch salad, right?
Yeah.
Just because I bougie Nassau people don't recognize something doesn't mean that it's not real. But let's take a pause. I got a caller here. Good morning, caller.
Carly, this is Clark University along with you and your guest, Aaron.
Good morning, Raymond. How you doing?
Morning.
I'm holding, thank God. We need justice, law, and order in this country.
Yes, sir.
But guess what?
Uh-huh.
With scotch conch,
uh-huh,
you don't use lemon, you use sour lime.
Sour orange.
Sour lime.
Oh, no, okay, right, sour lime, which is different from sour orange.
That's right.
There you go.
Also, with conch salad, right?
Mm-hmm.
What you use is you cut up the conchs in little blocks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dices, right?
Yeah.
You put what you would call a cucumber,
uh-huh,
lettuce, onion, tomatoes, the little red pepper, burnt
uh-huh
pepper,
uh-huh,
and sour lime.
I got you.
That's real conch salad. That's three conch salad. That's the Bahamian conch salad.
Bremen.
Other than that, you're joking.
Lettuce, Bremen?
No, I didn't say lettuce. I said...
No, that was...
Okay.
That was a mistake.
I said, tomatoes.
Tomato.
Yeah.
Cucumber.
Uh-huh.
Onion.
Uh-huh.
Burnt pepper.
Uh-huh.
And sour lime.
Yes, sir. Okay.
That's a real corn salad.
Okay.
And you can throw your little salad.
I said again?
You could throw a little celery in there, too. That's the old school way.
Yeah, you could put celery in there.
Yeah.
But you can put celery, sure. But
yeah,
the thing is, that's the main conch salad.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
And that got to be hot. The pepper going to make it hot.
Right, yeah. Because little children, you got to be adult. If you can't eat this, I mean, it's just too bad.
That's right.
That's what happened to me.
So if somebody not making that, they're not Bahamian.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Brayman.
The only thing with the block dice is, you know, it's difficult to consume. And then especially if you don't get no back teeth.
Yeah.
So to bite it, you know, to try to get it. So, yeah, that's why they scotch it. And
I will say, the last King of the Conch festival I went to, I had to pull for yellow kalma from Montague Rum.
Yeah.
First of all, because I from the East.
Yeah.
Right? Yellow is my boy.
That's my one too.
Right? But that salad, that dice he's put on, that little small mince he's put on, that conch, man.
Yeah.
I know people who's traveled from Coral Harbor to get that.
Yeah.
When you got your conch salad person, listen, when you got your conch salad person, you got your conch salad person. Right?
It's a relationship.
Right. And so, but for me, I grow up, I like fresh conch salad, right? I like to go, you make it, and I'm ready to sit down and eat it, right? I like, I need some pink grapefruit. The set is get from the abandoned farm in Andres, and a piece of pear and a piece of pink grapefruit with a traditional conch salad. And I need it fresh, straight from the cutting board. But all the Bahamians are used to, some of them are used to a conch salad that sit for a couple hours, right? Like if it don't sit in and marinate in the juices and become a real ceviche, right? That ain't for them.
Yeah.
And so like my mother would religiously every single Saturday, and people, this is how you keep the culture alive, you know. Every single Saturday, a small cup of conch salad, one of them said it sit and marinate, a bag of fritters, a piece of potato bread, and a piece of fried fish, like one snapper.
Yeah, everybody hungry right now.
Every Saturday, right? And then she buy only one serving, you know.
Yeah.
Only one serving she get of each thing. But then you learn to share. Okay, let's get to the questions. Well, no, let's get to these recipes now.
Okay.
So, pickle conch salad. That's from the north, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, at first, there's people all over New Providence saying this don't make any sense. What you mean, pickle conch salad? But I need to let the whole of the Bahamas know that the McLeanstown Conch Cracking Festival is 50 years strong. Mm-hmm. So wow. The people in Grand Bahama know what they did.
Yeah.
They've been cracking conch for a little while, right? And they had a pause for the pandemic, but they came back this year. And Monday, the 10th of October this year, they returned, the Crack Conking Festival returned to McLeanstown under the theme 50 Years and Still Cracking.
Wow, that's nice.
Yeah.
One of the things we wanted to do with King of the Conch as well was really to try and highlight the diversity of conch salad, right? And really tell the stories. There was some people there from Eleuthera saying that they used to put watermelon.
Yeah.
In conch salad.
At the King of the Conch Festival, there was a friend of mine. He was from Exuma.
Uh-huh.
No, Eleuthera. And he was saying that, you know, they used to put the watermelon. I don't see where that go.
Maybe they put the watermelon rind, right? Maybe you get right at that rind cut with a little bit of pink and a little bit of rind in it.
True.
Because you want to use more fruits that is citrus.
Yeah.
Yeah? And, you know, watermelon is more that water, so I don't see
what
where...
What are some other types of
that,
salad?
That could go. In Bimini, they don't use regular salt and they don't use sour or sour orange. They use garlic salt and just lime itself. If you go to Bimini, you go to Stott's Conch Stall.
Yeah,
that's Fabian.
Yeah.
And they don't use just garlic salt.
Yeah.
And lime. That's it.
Okay, dear Bahama Games organizers, I know this is short notice, right? But a side event, every island team should have their own conch salad. Like they should have a selection of conch salad available.
That's what we wanted to.
With the conch, King of the Conch,
We wanted to bring all of the family islands together and bring them over to Nassau and just demonstrate how they do their way of conch salad.
Okay, so watch this. I got a text here. It's a bit incendiary. It says, Aaron, it's sour lime, which is almost extinct. Listen, I know I used to have sour lime, sour orange tree in my yard.
Yeah.
And no, this is caps. No Bahamian has used cream or milk or anything foreign substance in Kong salad. They need jail. This is our sacred recipe.
Ah.
Now, dear Texter, watch this.
Jail.
I hear what you're saying, right? It's something about putting mayo in Kong salad that don't seem as foreign. I haven't tried it yet, though. Ain't nobody would actually buy me Kong to put mayo in. But what I'm saying is it don't feel as foreign as it sounds. Every time I hear somebody say they've put mayo in Kong salad, I think of crawfish salad.
That's it.
I can be honest.
That's exactly what it is.
So I think that could be acceptable. You don't think that could be acceptable?
Yeah. Putting the mayonnaise in Kong salad is like what you say. It's crawfish salad, if you close your eyes.
Yeah.
Is crab salad.
Yeah.
It's just the person who's making it, putting the mayonnaise in it. They're just using too much lime juice, or they use too much juice. And so when they do that, it makes it look like cream.
Right.
It's too watery.
Right. So it's not cream. It's a mayo. It's a water.
Yeah.
Now, there's some northern diasporic changes where people are putting red stuff in the Kong salad.
Oh, is that in Miami?
Yeah. That's tomato juice. You remember the canned VH tomato juice?
Yeah.
Yeah. In Miami, some part of Miami, we have persons putting VH juice in the Kong salad.
See, just as you said it, I thought of a Bloody Mary. I mean, it does sound blasphemous, right? But then I also thought of a Bloody Mary. See, because real drinkers, not me, I am not a real drinker, but I know real drinkers, and they like a spicy Kong salad. So, like, sober them up.
Yeah.
Right? But like a Bloody Mary is what you hear the dog, you come in at the back end, try sobe. I like it. It is blasphemous, though. I'm torn internally. But I got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron Green and your guest again.
Good morning, sir.
The only question need to be is which island make the best Kong salad?
Man, you know I get that on the list, right? But you're right.
Which one you say?
Sir, which one you say?
Bimini.
Bimini?
Bimini,
with the garlic salt?
Watch out with the Biminites now.
Yeah.
They use two types of Kong. They use the lamb Kong, which is very, very, very tasty, or they use the queen Kong. But when they cut their tomatoes for the Kong salad, they take all of them seeds out of it, and they just use the flesh and the skin.
And they're using the lambus.
Yeah, they make a mean Kong salad in Bimini, buddy.
Okay.
I just called to say that.
Thank you.
All right.
For me, there's nobody I would say that Popeye the Kong celebrity is better than.
Yeah.
But I'm different from.
Yeah.
I'm different from you. And to make a good Kong salad, it determines on the customer. And so Aaron might say, I want this. I don't want a lime. I want more orange and more less sour, more this or whatever. And so at Popeye the Kong celebrity, you are the celebrity. And so it is a science behind making a Kong salad. It isn't just making Kong salad, because all of the fruits, you have to select them properly. Some people use an overripe tomatoes, and it shouldn't be. You should use, half-grain tomatoes, that's solid tomatoes.
Yeah.
And then you have some limes that would turn back. You will have some orange that you could check the rime of it. If they're, dark, yellow or orange, that means it's sweeter. And so you have to know how to balance the fruits, the juices of the fruits, that determines a good salad.
Absolutely. Mr. Producer, play that song by Skinny Marshall and Iowa. Now, conch isn't just special to the Bahamas, right? Mm-hmm. Conch is something we share with our regional brothers and sisters. The food culture, the sort of economic trade culture, and then even the war culture, right? Even culture. And so I found a song by Michelle Montano, Skinny Fabulous, and George Iwa called Conch Shell.
Wow.
And I just thought, look here, we get play this. Producer, play that one for me, please. And see if I can find some questions for you, because the game show is not over yet.
You come prepared.
Yes.
You did a lot of studying.
Got to rise the conk and the conkologist.
Yeah.
And the conk.
Fire up,
to hold some fish just to whip up a potpourri. I like my fish well boiled, can I stand it in too much oil? So I get out my seasoning to do some Creole cooking. All kind of fish in day, more when I'm balafui, more la hatiti, me lay fish on me.
Like it.
Thank you, producer. Yeah, man.
Yes.
And we need, I need Bahamians to sort of make the connection, right? You sing about what's important to you. The musicians, the artists, when they look at you, the people, they pull up from you what's most prevalent, the most popular stories and songs and experiences, right? But we need more songs about conch.
Yeah.
We need, our children need to know that conch was the thing, because every other song we have is about conch and any type of conch, right? If I sing a song about how the gal conch you, how the gal try to conch you.
Yeah.
Right? How she thought she is the gall and she didn't know you was the conch. Huh?
Yeah. I said, you got some good ideas.
Right. Should be the biggest part of us.
I think just bringing in more consciousness again about conch and how we use it. I think we could see that in the way that Arawak key has changed and morphed. It's not, what it used to be.
Yeah.
For the better or for the worse, that's the argument, you know, somebody else could make. But I think that one of the things to note about that is that when you don't pay attention to the details and the aspects of your culture, they can change in ways that you might not want them to change.
Yeah.
And so we just have to be really conscious and aware of how we're using these things. And that's what King and the Conch was about, bringing that awareness, about saying, okay, this is a part of our economy, but it's also part of our orange economy, right? Like, mm-hmm. these people are artists to say, okay, how much lime, how much orange, to find that real balance. And any good chef knows that the hardest dish to make is something that has very few ingredients,
yeah.
right? So how do you do this? How do you make it special? And then the presentation of it,
mm-hmm.
also, right? How you cut the fruits and how fast you can make it just the theater
yeah.
of conch salad.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, all of these things are special, but we take it for granted.
And look here, that's one of the most popular parts of the King of the Conch. In fact, I'm renaming it the Queen of the Conch
and
Festival.
The Queen of the Conch Fest. Yes, you didn't talk about the woman.
Right. Yeah. And in fact, look here, you see that anyway, that baseball game last night. I don't know what happened to y'all, but I have a suggestion. What we're going to do is we're going to put y'all in timeout and focus on the women athletes. Queen of the Conch Festival. It was fabulous, man. Listen, y'all need to go and watch Bahamian Woman crack conch and cut up conch for yeah, conch salad.
That's a beautiful sight.
Right. And you know what... The thing from that festival that I want to do as well, we need to have a call-in festival. You know, I want to say good morning to Dottie and Bobby from Montague Ramp. Dottie.
Yeah.
If y'all have ever heard Dottie from Eastern Road, right?
Mm.
Snapper! Snapper! Come get your grouper!
Yeah.
That's a tradition.
Yeah.
And Dottie got that, man. And yeah. that's something that was out at the Conch Festival as well. And I loved it, man.
Yeah.
I loved it. Okay, so we sort of almost out of time.
Yeah.
Right? First thing is, when are we going to have another King and Queen of the Conch Festival?
As soon as we can get some sponsorship.
We on it. Okay. Send a shout out to the winners, the last winners from the King and the Queen of the Conch Festival.
So I'd like to send a shout out to Shani, who participated in there from Borderski Dock. We also have Cece, who was the winner from Borderski Dock. She was in the Queen of the Conch.
Uh-huh.
Big shout goes out to Dino Gambea. His crew was out there in full effect. Uh-huh. It was really good. So,
yeah.
You know. We had Yellow from the Ramp.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy, my boy.
Yep.
He participated, but he was that good, so we didn't allow him. The conch shell blowing competition.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
But what I want to say that is, you know, a serious topic on the conch that we really need
yeah.
to discuss is that who is making conch salad? Is it Bahamians? And that's what the problem is, you know what I mean? So we don't really have too many Bahamian making conch salad. And so if you have foreigners making it, they really don't know the authentic way. It's just something that they can make money from and fast. And so that's really the biggest problem.
And a deeper problem than just the money is if they're from a culture that also eats conch, then their cultural attitudes towards conch are going to outweigh your local attitudes.
Yeah.
But we need to talk about it. The thing to do. And the other thing, I know we are all out of time. The other thing we don't talk about is, because I sort of focus on the Afro-Bahamian relationship with conch without realizing, hey, look here. First of all, we call a whole set of Bahamian conky Joes because when the Lutheran adventurers came here, they was conking. And when the loyalists came after that and saw them, they were like, hey, we need to figure out what we're going to do. We're going to call them conks. And then the Greeks created the crack conch, right? The dish. And so conch doesn't belong to the African Bahamian alone.
No, it's conch is every Bahamian owned.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I got a text here saying, except for people who has put cream in it. A text saying, the conch don't belong to y'all.
And don't ever put orange juice from the
bottle,
I think it's Bluebird.
Yeah.
Oh, you going to jail.
Okay.
Whoever putting that in there, going to jail.
Yeah, I would sort of with y'all on that. Listen, if you got a goatee for orange and leave a letter that say, national duty, I needed this.
Yeah.
Do that. Okay. I'm so sorry we are all out of time. Producer, play one song to lead us to the break, please. I wish I could teach some of Mr. Cecil Newry's Guardian Radio AM hour, but I can't. I got to have you guys back. We got to continue talking conk.
Yeah.
This was so much fun. Thank you. And now I could say I am a real conchologist.
Yeah.
Because I studied under the king and the queen of the conch.
And you got that. You really is good.
You guys have a great day. Audience, you stay tuned. Producer, take us out of here.
Yes, we is a conky nation. We need to pass conservation.